Hi, I'm your host, Rowan Tonkin, and welcome to Being Planful, the show for FP&A leaders and planning experts. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, wherever it is you're listening from. This is the Being Planful podcast. Today, I am joined by Christopher Argent, the founder of Gen CFO. Gen CFO is an online community for finance practitioners. Chris, tell me, how did you come up with the concept of starting a community for finance practitioners?
It was really easy, to be honest with you, because I was just basically looking for friends. I was looking for people who, you know, were a bit like me. They were working in accounting and finance and business. They were potentially a bit more tech savvy than the people around them. And I just went out hunting for friends, used that big place called LinkedIn, grew a community to 40,000 people, and then the rest is history. So really, it was a sort of a selfish thing where I was trying to find like-minded people to help me with my job.
And I think that distills the power of community, right? And that's the topic of today's conversation is, you know, how can you all as finance and accounting practitioners leverage communities in what you do today, day to day? And so obviously Chris's story is about how he started it, but we're going to talk today a lot about, you know, how you all as listeners can leverage the power of community. So Chris, what do you see as the biggest benefits that your members receive from the community?
The number one thing I think is you simply get answers to your questions. You know, it's community can be so many different things, but it essentially it's about asking a question to a group of people. You know, I sometimes sort of talk about who wants to be a millionaire. And it's the sort of phone a friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's the wisdom of crowds. It's exactly that concept. And the thing is, you tend to get an answer, even though, you know, you're not going to an expert, you're going to a peer, you're going to someone who's got experience. So it's not necessarily textbook. You know, it's not a response from ChatGPT, you know, digesting the whole of the internet into an answer.
Yeah,
but what it is it's credible, it's relatable, and it is an answer from probably someone that you trust.
Yeah, I think that in preparing for today's conversation, you know, one of the things that I wrote down is simply that getting that peer network and therefore getting an outside perspective. If I think about all the FP&A and accounting teams that I know, they're not the biggest teams. And so you have a very limited, resource pool available to you internally. And the power of becoming a member of a community like that is there's thousands of other people just like you looking for people just like you. And that shared experience and shared ability to solve problems is a scale that you just often can't reach when G&A teams are under so much constraint.
Yeah, so true. Like but even in large companies, you know, where there are large teams, people still have different agendas and different experience and different skills and talent, different visions, you know, of their careers. So finding like-minded people who, you know, genuinely can relate to what you're trying to do, I think is super powerful. And it's not just about learning and getting answers. You know, at times it feels like therapy for a lot of people, because it's like, I talk to my boss, but he doesn't get it. You know, I want to automate everything, but he doesn't understand or she doesn't understand. So I think, you know, again, going back to the theme, the power of community, it's actually feeling that you're not on your own on this journey. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about, you know, meeting people via Gen CFO. It's like, wow, you know, I'm not alone here. Now that kind of happened quite quickly with me on LinkedIn. That the problem with LinkedIn is that it's just too noisy, and it's no longer a community or even a place to try and find information. It's just noisy. So the power of a community is that it is niche, and it is bringing, you know, a small group of people together. You know, I always say to our group leaders, we've got a number of community leaders who are kind of advocates and working in business, not consultants, that, you know, you want to cap your group at around 200. Find 10 people to start it off, you know, kick it off and build some momentum, but don't go too far, because then it will get noisy and then that's really not helping anyone.
A little bit of the Elon Musk, two pizza mentality, right? Never have a team meeting with more than a group that could eat two pizzas.
Yeah, totally. Because, you know, how can I get that sense of community when I walk into a room and there's, you know, 1,000 people there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's online or at a conference, like some of these conferences, and you're in America, you know, we're in Diddley, UK, where, you know, 1,000 people in a room is probably the max. But, you know, it's overwhelming. So you want to bring it back down to literally, you know, if you're going to set up a community or find a community, try to find small ones. Try to find ones that are managed well, you know, who have people leading groups that are manageable, so you can actually be heard. Because otherwise, it's just, you know, I don't know, an advertising thread for someone who's leading a group. And that's not what a community is.
Yeah. And so talk about the value. So, you know, if I join the Gen CFO community, the things that I would expect to see, and I'm not allowed to join because I'm a CMO. And so
definitely not.
One day I'll go and get an accounting degree.
We've got Gen CMO in the pipeline now.
Okay.
No, we actually don't. We don't.
We have the next CMO here. So that's okay. But what I'd be looking for, and I'm a member of plenty of marketing communities for this reason. So to your point, niche specific communities, like I'm a member of copywriting communities. Secondly, like the current events and trends. Right. So in FP&A and accounting, it's all the regulation that we all have to keep up to date with, and trying to understand how different people are approaching it to then apply it to your organization. You mentioned group therapy. I had in my notes the shoulder to cry on when you need it, or the advocate when you need it, right? Someone to boost you up when you're feeling down.
Yeah.
As well as that outside perspective that we've already talked about. And a trusted network, because you've got to be able to, you know, our worlds in whatever department you're in can get lonely and can get isolated in an organization, just simply because we get put in little departmental pigeonholes, and you've got to go and find those other departments in other businesses, because otherwise people just don't get you, get your challenges, get the frustrations that you're feeling.
Yeah.
So, you know, I, as a member of many communities, that's what I get the value from. The question I have for you is, that's all get.
Yeah.
How should folks think about giving value to their communities?
It's a great question. And just, you know, to say first that Gen CFO is set up in a very similar way, right? We know what people want from us, and we offer that up. And I think we're very much last to the party. You know, our approach has been compared to the tech community or like other communities out there that have been running forever. You know, and it's just like, why were the accountants always forgotten about?
Mm-hmm.
That's going well. I suppose what you can do is, it's a funny one. You know, we had a members meet this week, and I asked people, you know, what do you guys want to be saying about the community in 3 months' time? And they came out with all this stuff, like, you know, it's like, oh, I want to find a mentor, and I want, you know, to be shouting about the fact that the mentor scheme's great. I want to be, you know, I've got a conference coming up in a couple of months. It would be great to, you know, hear people's public speaking skills and actually to get up to speed on some of the stuff that I'm talking about, which was all digital transformation related. So whatever it is, it's just engagement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being there for other people, because, and I think people can be quite shy when they first go into a community or find it a little bit, you know, like, well, I'm not sure about this. But if it is a vetted community and a niche community, you can't tell whether you're amongst friends and peers, but you are, you know, by definition, because it's vetted. So I would say just engage. You know, I think it's probably fair to say that probably only 20% of our community online actually posts or comments or likes. I'd love to see that higher, because everyone's got something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're quite, you know, open about the levels of people that we let in. You know, we try to sort of stream things and put people into different groups for their own conversations. But a finance manager might come in and go, I'm a Power BI expert, you know, or a planful expert, and get completely like bombarded with questions from senior leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, especially in the digital space, everyone's learning. So everyone's got a lot to offer. So I would say the best thing you can do as a community member is to offer yourself up, whether that's posting, whether that's liking, and obviously offline where we do events, you know, turn up to the events and be part of it.
Kind of leads me to an analogy that our chief people officer Melissa Druth has, which is, you know, it's about culture, but very effective for community, which is, you know, at some point you're going to need to make a big withdrawal, right, from that community, right? You're going to ask them to do something that you're like, oh, that's a big ask. I'm going to need some credibility to do this. Yep. So that big withdrawal means that you have to be giving deposits all the time, little deposits every time. That could be a comment on someone else's post, starting a conversation, sharing an article, you know, curating some content for the community. But then when you're ready to take that, you know, like, oh, I've got a really big problem and I'm going to need the community's help, people are willing to give you the cash back because you've made all of those deposits. And so I think that's really important for listeners as you're thinking, you know, the community is easy to become a voyeur, right?
Yeah.
And just observe everything and learn, give back, because otherwise, and that can snowball for you, your career, and it can also snowball for the community. Like, you're creating a conversation that may not have existed.
Yeah, it's so true. And that is something that sort of, it's very natural to some people. They'll be part of a community and maybe they're more of a type of person. You know, some people would sort of say, oh, they're the extroverts, they're the talkers or whatever. But I don't think it necessarily is introvert or extrovert. I think they just get that you know, reciprocity that you're talking about. If I give a load of stuff out, then when I ask for something back, it's going to be probably a lot easier for me to get that back. And it's also a lot easier for those people to give to you, because they're not sitting there going, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Never heard of him before. They're going, oh, he seems like a really nice guy. Or I've seen him ask questions about X, Y, Z. He's been really open and honest. And I get a sense of who they are, even from a virtual community.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be the one who says, can I help? And, you know, like I said about that 3 month forward question to the members, you know, we've already had people come in and say, you know, hey, I public speak all the time, or I'm an experienced leader, you know, I'll give you some tips and tricks if you want. And it's kind of that sort of support. Mm-hmm. Now, if that member wasn't that vocal or brave to say, hey, I'm a bit vulnerable and I need to learn something, then, you know, they'd just be sat in the dark being a voyeur like everybody else.
Yeah.
Watching
YouTube videos or listening to ChatGPT answer their questions and only getting one perspective, right?
Yeah, or they could, you know, post it on LinkedIn and get, you know, 100 likes, but actually not learn anything at all.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think some people get that. Some people see it as, you know, being noisy and shouty, but I don't, not in a community sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were at a party with your friends, you know, you don't want to be sitting there silent for 2 hours and waiting for someone to hit the dance floor. You want to all just come in and have a good time. So mm-hmm. be that person, be the giver, and then everyone else will follow.
Are there any, I guess I'm not sure what you call them, but let's call them member experiences for now. Are there any member experiences that have really surprised you? Any stories that you can share about, you know, members that has kind of, wow, I didn't think this community would deliver that, but it has.
What am I allowed to say?
Yeah, you please anonymize it, but yeah.
So yeah, I think what I'm surprised about, so Gen CFO, yes, it's a finance leadership community, but we believe that technology and digital transformation is like an intimate part of that future, right? And what I'm constantly surprised about is how open people are about how rubbish their leadership are in this area. And I mean, whether it comes to understanding, implementation, to the racket of consultancy, it's just like it all comes out. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, without naming names and specifics, I think it's amazing that people find the, you know, home in a community to be that honest, and they love it. You know, people, and people respect it. You know, we don't sort of talk about Chatham House rules. Yeah, we just sort of say, look, just be part of the community, be honest. And, you know, we do quarterly research, and people are being really brave publicly as well. It's not just behind closed doors, where they're calling out the need for education and learning. And, you know, that is a leadership issue as much as it is a sort of talent issue with Gen Z. So I think, yeah. And I think also there's a lot of confidences in terms of, you know, career progression and problems at work as well. There's been I'm quite public about a past story where I found a CFO fraud. So I seem to be the go-to person for forensics in the community. It's like, Chris, you know, I've come across a fraud. Can you help me with this? So yeah, there's been lots of member moments, I suppose. And I love it. I love it. I can't wait to talk to people at our meetups, and I can't wait to get on there in the morning. You know, overnight, someone signed up like a CFO from France. I could look at their profile and I asked them a relevant question. You know, it's that's great. I prefer to spend much more time on our community than I do on LinkedIn, even though everyone probably knows me from LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is just noisy. So yeah, lots of moments, but I'm not naming names.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And what are some of the emerging trends that are coming out of the community right now? Like, for our listeners, they come to Being Planful to listen to emerging trends and what's going on. What is the, you know, what are the hot topics in the community right now for finance and accounting professionals?
I think so we do this research reports. The last research report we did is on our analytics. And I think one of the hot topics there is all around, you know, how we take it to the next level. And hot topic generally is just skills, and a massive skills gap, massive talent gap within the team. There's an ambition to move analytics forward, but, you know, do we have the skills for it? Do we have the vision for it? This is where some of the criticism comes in. You know, if I'm trying to push an agenda as a manager on analytics with no vision from my CFO or leader, it's almost impossible. So I think people are want to learn more on the analytics side, and they see skills development, education, data career paths within finance as hot topics. Also on the technology front, everyone's gone mad about ChatGPT, and we joked about it this week that, you know, every product manager out there at the moment is saying we need to add a chatbot to our product. You know, that's the solution to everything now. But it's like, you know, really, you know, I think the jury's out on that right now in terms of how finance and accounting can use chatbots. So there was a lot of talk about that. And then I think in general, there's a lot of concern, like in terms of business, there's a lot of concern about practicalities of wage inflation, the uncertainty of business at the moment. You know, we're UK based, even though we're a global community, and we've had quite a lot to deal with in the UK recently. So I think there are, you know, concerns around wage inflation and the way things are going at the moment in the economy. But yeah, the thing is, there's so many different trends. That's the joy of being part of a community.
Well, and actually, yeah, that does come back to the value that a community can provide, right? There's in a community full of thousands of members, there's hot topics that are relevant to you right now. And then 2 weeks later, another relevant trend might be relevant to you at that time, but it's still relevant in the community. Those conversations are consistently ongoing.
And if you can,
skills and talent shortage isn't anything new, but it might be new for you at that moment.
Absolutely. And again, if a community's set up right, you know, we're quite critical of communities that are set up on Slack, because that's not a community platform. It was never designed to be a community platform. A good community is going to have a discussions area, a forum to actually build up a bank of those sorts of questions, right? For exactly that reason, my problem today is your problem tomorrow. Mm-hmm. My solution today is your solution tomorrow, potentially. So, you know, you should be able to have a knowledge base, search things, you know, ask people, but also have some reference there. And something like Slack is really hard to find answers on like that. And obviously LinkedIn, you know, you wouldn't go there for that. You might ask ChatGPT, but then again, who knows what answer you're gonna get.
Yeah, I think the challenge, so I'm a prolific Slack user and probably have 8 groups on my side panel. And I was talking to a colleague the other day, I don't actually use my mouse inside Slack because I just know all the shortcuts. So for me, I'm like, I can find anything in Slack. But there's a bunch of groups out there and a bunch of people that haven't been using it that long. And it can be a quagmire of how do I find where I'm going, and overwhelming, and therefore you get lost. So certainly.
Yeah. And it's also, I would encourage people to set up their own communities. And if you do that, Slack can get very expensive because, you know, you start buying licenses for this stuff rather than, you know, just having a tool. So but that's to the community.
That's a different problem, but we can model that one out, right?
I'm sure exactly, there's
a modeling conversation about, you know,
we've, you know, had lots of questions about license management and some of the vendors management software out there, because there's a lot of finance people out there going, we need to tame this license beast. It's, you know, it's like out of control, subscriptions and things like that, spend analytics. It's all, it's all part of the debate.
Well, and it's all part of the conversation. And so my question to you is, what are the go-to communities aside from Gen CFO? Obviously, I don't think that you, as I just said, I'm a member of many because I can add value and can get value from many different communities. What are the communities that you see out there in the market that you'd say to people, well, you should be a member of Gen CFO and?
So I think So community, as I said at the start, is about getting answers. So if you're looking to sort of educate yourself, self-educate yourself, I think that actually starts with your institution if you're qualified, right? So if your institution has an alumni or a peer network, that sort of thing, then, you know, I would start there. But they will, the chances are they're limited in what they can do, and they certainly wouldn't be taking you to the pub. You know, it's sort of that kind of thing. But that's a good start. And when, you know, that's university as well as professional institutions, things like that. We partner up with the ACCA and the CAANZ. So big, massive networks there. So start there. I think there are some conferences that have some communities. I'm reluctant to call them out, even though they're significant, because I don't think they're set up to be communities. You know, we're community first, they're event company first.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it. So there are people like CFO Connect, right? They are an events company. They are they're a technology vendor, because it's Spendesk. They have a Slack community, and now they have events. Mm-hmm. But CFO Connect is huge. The trouble that I have with some of those is that obviously behind it is a tech company. So they're looking at your data. You know, they have a profit motive in mind. Hang on.
That's a confusing term for a tech company. Profit? Did you say profit?
Well, we're not all in startup mode, are we? We're not all in startup mode. So, you know, it would be wrong for me to just ignore that. They are a big player. But there are, you know, there are Richmond Events who have their own forums. There are other, you know, sort of partners that we partner up with in the UK. There is one called the Shared Services Forum, which is really targeting big enterprise shared services. Mm-hmm. And in the US, there is the CFO Leadership Council. So actually the regional focus of these groups is actually really important.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I talk about in the UK might not necessarily be, you know, as important to someone in the US right now. As you talk about the economics in the UK and Europe, that could be different to somewhere else in the world. So it's the niche community that you need.
And I think that's it's a really important aspect of what you said right at the start of this call is, you know, there's a certain size where it becomes important. And so there's a regional aspect. There might be a kind of a focus area aspect. You might be in manufacturing and you want a manufacturing chapter, for example.
Sure.
That, yeah, well, I'll use a finance term. The dimensionality of that is really important for a community to find what you're looking for.
Absolutely. And they're going to have different tools. They're going to have different solutions. They're going to have different expertise. Their organizational structures will be different. You know, in the UK, because of the UK makeup, you know, we attract a lot of people from retail, manufacturing. There is a real focus on sort of consumer goods, as well as financial services.
Mm-hmm.
But if I went to somewhere else, it might be, you know, consulting, or it might be tech or IT. You know, the UK is a tier one country, so there's a whole breadth of things going on. But I do think that sort of niche and localization of a community is super important. But I can't believe you got me to talk about my competitors. That's, you know, so outrageous.
Well, it's you know, it's important. The power of community. I would say, like, many tech vendors have communities, and they're great places to go and find resources about problems or challenges that you're facing within your technology area. I'm personally a member of many CMO, like, you know, MarTech communities, primarily because, you know, the explosion of MarTech, I need help from other people that have invested in technology that I've also invested in. And so it's a very niche conversation, but it's an important one to maximize what is typically big investments for you and your company. So, I'll plus one that, but it shouldn't be the only community that you're a member of. And that's what I think I'm trying to say here is, and asking you to recommend your competition is, just don't become a member of one community. Become a member of a lot. And that might be actually one of your challenges, Chris, is driving the engagement, because people are members of many. And so you might be in three and highly engaged in one.
I completely agree with that. And because I think the outside perspective on what we do is even more relevant than before. Because as finance people, we're being asked to be business people, you know, the whole trend around finance business partnering. And I do believe analytics enables that. And it's a super valuable part of that equation. You can't just be a great communicator about rubbish spreadsheets. You know, you need more than that. So, but I actually think going outside. So when, you know, we've done the Digital Finance Function Awards, you know, we went out to analytics communities and we went out to business communities and we sort of said, what do you think of this? And they're like, wow, this is amazing. Like, we thought you were a bunch of boring accountants. Maybe we'll start asking you to do more of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's almost like an appreciation of what people want by going outside. And that could be quite a stretch for some people, because it's like, you know what, it's a big deal for me to join a relevant, you know, what I see as a relevant group, you know, a CFO finance leadership group, but then to go and join, you know, an analytics group, or I don't know, a public speaking group or something, it's like, wow, you know, that's even a bigger stretch in terms of comfort zone. But I do agree with you. I think it's very important to get that breadth. And that outside view of what you're doing, and almost like a sort of, I call it an advisory board, right? It's in startup, it's just comes by nature. You know, you talk to lots of people. There's only a few of you starting out. So as you said about the two pizza rule, but you still have a huge number of people that you might tap into.
Yeah.
If you're in a larger organization, sometimes you sort of think everybody within your organization is all you need. But actually, if you go outside to that peer advisory group, then you're going to get different perspectives rather than being in an echo chamber. And that's super valuable.
So I know we're coming short on time here. Any advice for folks as, you know, if they're sitting listening today, I think, you know, first thing I would say to them is you're a member of a community of fellow listeners, right? And you can find all of the folks that have spoken on this podcast on LinkedIn, to your point, connect with them, you know, follow them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a bit harder, of course, you know, harder to search, harder to filter out the noise. But do that because I think you will find like-minded folks. But any advice, Chris, for listeners in terms of, you know, if they're thinking about, actually, I realize I don't have a community. What should they do now?
Google it. You know, like, where do you start to find a community? You know, I think you're going to look for references, you're going to look for referral. You know, you are going to probably go to your institutions and things like that. I think just be brave. I think that's what I'd be saying to most people. I've mentioned a few people, and you know, there's a big one in the USA, there's a big one in the UK, there's, you know. So just come along and have an open mind. And you know what, if you don't like what you see, you can leave. If you don't like what you see, you can, you know, not engage. But I think there is so much power in it. And this isn't just marketing hype, you know, like the conversations that we have, the examples that we have, you know, are really valuable to people. And whether it's just, you know, a mental health sort of evening with people and a glass of red, or whether it's something really practical that you can sort of get into online, I would say just give it a go. and be brave. And you don't have to be revolutionary, right, to sign up to a community. You don't have to have very, very strong opinions or a huge knowledge base. You know, all you're doing is sharing your own experience, and you're the expert in your own experience. So, you know, don't feel that you need to turn up with a sort of data science or a CFO sort of badge. You don't. You just need to sort of be open to a conversation.
Well, really appreciate the advice and the kind of sharing of the value of communities today, Chris. So thank you. How can folks find out about Gen CFO? I think it's probably obvious, but I'll let you kind of.
Well, if you Google Gen CFO, don't Google Chris Argent, because apparently that's a dead guy on Team Wolf or something. But yeah, Google Gen CFO or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if you're interested in celebrations, also look at the Digital Finance Function Awards, which is one of our flagship events, because that's a real celebration of people who are kind of leading the community. So you can see what they're doing and maybe get inspired to join.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Chris. Have a great rest of your day, and really appreciate you being on the Being Planful podcast.
Thank you for your time.
Make sure you hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for stopping by.